no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show, and thanks for joining me once again. We'll hear first this week from Tales of the Texas Rangers and their story from October 8, 1950, titled Living Death. After that, it's Suspense and The Day I Died, their story from June 30th, 1949.
Presenting Joel McRae as Jace Pearson in Tales of the Texas Rangers. Tales of the Texas Rangers, authentic stories from their official files. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles. And 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. Now, from the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on fact. Only names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Case for tonight, Living Death.
It is 2 a.m. on the morning of October 3rd, 1948. A man stands in the brush on the American side of the Rio Grande, watching another man wading rapidly across the river from the Mexican side.
Hurry up.
Senor Green? Senor Green, where are you?
Over here. And shut up.
Oh.
I almost fallen.
Never mind. You crazy wearing a white sombrero with that moon?
What is the harm, Senor Green? Nobody see the ego but you.
Don't be too sure of that. Somebody followed me down here. I don't know whether I shook him or not.
The border patrol?
No. Hijacker, maybe.
You got the package?
Oh, see, right here. 20 ounces.
Okay, here's your money. 200 an ounce. $4,000.
Oh, gracias. Will be another shipment next week.
Yeah, I know. I'll meet you here again on the 12th. Same time. And be a little more...
You're right, amigo. Someone does follow you.
Quiet. San came from over there. He's moving this way. You'll have to crawl through that clearing first, and the moon's right on it.
You gonna use a gun?
What do you think I got it for? Keep quiet.
There he is. Coming into the moonlight.
Yeah, and he doesn't see us. Just like a sitting duck.
You hit him, senor?
Yeah. But it looks like I didn't hit him good enough. Yeah, that's better. Grab his leg.
Senor,
grab his leg and get him out of this clearing into the brush. The longer it takes to find him, the better.
Senor Grip. We shouldn't have met this place again. It will not be safe.
All right, drop him here. No, we can't use this place again. It'll be too hot.
I must get better across the river. Where do we meet next time?
Next time, use our old crossing near Lajitas. I'll get lost. Fast!
The body of the slain man was discovered. But for 2 months, there was no clue to point to his killer. And then suddenly another man was shot to death on the streets of a small town in West Texas. And Captain Stinson of the Texas Rangers radioed Ranger Jace Pearson to meet him at the county morgue.
Bodies on this slab, Jace.
Shot right through the heart, eh, Captain?
Yeah. And here's our ballistics report. 45 caliber slug. Look at the markings on this photo of it.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now, look at this ballistics photo. This is a report on the slug they took out of the man who was killed near the border 2 months ago.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Both slugs came from the same gun.
Mm-hmm.
Autopsy report on this man completed yet?
It's being typed up. We'll have it in a minute. Clyde Mooney's waiting for it.
Mooney. Oh, is he here?
Yeah, I sent for both of you. Mooney worked on the border killing. Since it's tied up with his second killing, I thought you'd better tackle it together.
Suits me fine.
You got some special reason for wanting to see the autopsy report, Jace?
Yeah. Look at the body. Marks on the left forearm. Look like the kind we usually find on drug addicts.
Well, we'll know in a second. Here's Clyde now.
Howdy, Captain. Hi, Jace.
Howdy, Clyde. Good to see you, boy.
Heard you talking as I come in, Jace. You hit it all right. Here's the autopsy report. Man was a drug addict.
He's probably just as well off dead, then. Bullet ties this one right up with your border case, Clyde. Guess we're both after the same killer.
Yeah. I've been hunting wetbacks for 2 months trying to find the man who was toting the gun those slugs came from.
Anything else you boys want to see here?
No, Cap.
No, Cap.
Well, let's get out of here, then.
Any identification on this man we just saw, Captain?
Not a thing. Was dressed like a hobo. Doesn't fit any of the descriptions on missing persons reports, either.
Might help a lot if we knew who he was. I can't see this killing as a job done by a wetback.
Why not, Jace? It was somebody sneaking across the border. Tracks weren't clear by the time the body was found down there, but there were tracks.
Both your cars in back near mine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Jace, go ahead with your theory.
Well, a wetback sneaking into the country to earn a few dollars working is usually too poor to own a gun, unless he's carrying something across with him.
You thinking of those hypo marks, Jace?
It adds up to me. Narcotic smuggling.
Might be. Man who was killed in my territory could have been shot because he spotted somebody crossing with the stuff.
Well, that's possible. But how about the dead man we just left? He wasn't shot near the border.
It looked like he was down and out. Had the habit, but not the price. Might have tried to get some narcotics by threatening to expose the peddler.
I'll buy that, Jace. How about you, Clyde?
Best bet I've had so far.
All right, Jace. Where are you planning on starting?
Back along the border.
What, my area?
No. Killing was made that spot too hot for them. They'll go back to some old crossing that's cooled off. I know a few, and you probably know a few.
Well, yeah. Place west of Laredo. Then there's Devil's River. That's been quiet lately.
Yeah. And the Castellon area and the Big Bend, up through Lajitas and Redford. It's a big border.
Yeah, so the sooner we get started, the more of it we can cover.
You're dragging a double trailer, Jay. Suppose I load my horse in with charcoal. We'll use one car.
Good. Let's go. Mooney and I covered the old smuggler crossings one by one. But weeks passed, and we hadn't found anything by the time we reached the Big Bend. We were riding the river near Lajitas.
Getting kind of late, Jace. We ought to make camp, turn in.
Yeah, might as well quit this spot tomorrow. Move on toward Redford. There's a good campsite ahead, clearing near that clump of honey mesquite.
You got eyes like a cat.
We can make radio contact when we get back to the car tomorrow. Cap may have something for us.
Yeah. What was it he said he'd check on?
Narcotic possession cases. Trying to pin down areas where the drug traffic seems to be the heaviest. Man who's smuggling narcotics must be picking up for a central distributor.
Well, it could be just a small operator.
A small operator's business wouldn't warrant the risk of crossing the border. Whoever makes the pickup is working for a boss.
Well, why couldn't he be the distributor making his own pickup?
Big boy'd play it safe. Stick somebody else's neck out, not his own. Here we are. Ooh, Charlie.
Ooh, boy. You want to get the bedrolls off, Jace? I'll strike a fire, get some chuck cooking.
No, let's skip the fire and eat cold.
Why? We're moving out of here tomorrow.
I'd like to watch one more night. It's too quiet here. Haven't been reports of any trouble in this section in almost 3 years. We haven't even spotted a wetback trail.
Okay, no fire.
Might as well let the horses drink before we hobble them. Come on, Charcoal.
Come on, boy.
I want to rub Charcoal's legs down tonight. Lechuguilla's been cutting him up.
Yeah, I got a few nasty scratches myself. Attaboy. Drink up. You looking for something over there, Jace?
Yeah. Let the horses go for a second. Come here, bring a flashlight.
What is it?
Slight depressions in this mud bank. Just barely saw them. Flash the light.
Yeah. They were tracks, all right. Not much left, though.
Something else here. Piece of paper half buried. Must have been stepped on.
Brown. Looks like that brown stickum paper they use to seal packages.
No. This is the kind of paper a bank uses to wrap money. Look. There are traces of blue on here from an inkstand.
Yeah, can you read it?
No. Maybe the lab at Austin can. Anybody who tore a band from a packet of money in this spot must have been counting it.
Yeah. This isn't exactly a business neighborhood.
Let's stake out, boy. We found some kind of a crossing, and it may be the one we're looking for.
We didn't dare move out of the area. We took turns sleeping and keeping the horses out of sight as much as possible. At night, we crept out along the river, moving slowly under cover.
5 nights now, Jace. Maybe they won't cross again in the same spots.
I know. A mile above or below us, and we'd never even see them.
We found tracks in a couple of places along here. They might... What? Oh. One of our horses. Thought we had something for a minute.
Clyde, that isn't one of ours. It's coming from the wrong direction. Put your ear to the ground.
I don't have to. I can hear him coming now.
Can't be our horses. They're hobbled, and the one we hear is moving free. Come on. Don't show yourself on the riverside. That's where his contact will come from.
Coming now. There's something moving in the water out there.
A few hundred yards down. Our horses would have to be up the other way. We'll have to try it on foot. We haven't time to go back and get mounted.
If they make a fast pass, we'll never get there in time anyhow.
We'll have to risk a little noise. That moving horse will cover our approach until he stops. Step it up.
The contact is across to this side by now. I can't see him out there anymore.
Wait. Wait. The horse is stopping, too.
Diego? Go ahead, senor. Come on, give me the stuff. Here's the money.
Well, they're not wasting any time, Jace.
No. Let's go.
There I am! Hold on! Keep going, Diego. Run! Get up, boy!
I'll get the one in the river, Jace! Stop that horse! Come out of that water!
You get him, Clyde?
He shot at close range, Jace. I had to kill him.
We got to leave him get after that rider. Let's get to the horses.
Right. Only we've been 50 yards closer to him back there, Jace.
He went over the ridge up ahead. We can pick up his trail up there. I could swear I hit him when I fired.
I hope you did. Narcotic traffic's the filthiest thing on earth. Oh, here's the ridge, Jace. Oh, boy.
Oh, Chaco.
Boy. Yeah. Look where we have to track. Mesquite and greasewood. Ground as hard as rock.
Won't be much of a trail here, Jace. It'll take us hours to cut back and forth looking for soft spots.
Yeah, no time for that. Get off.
Yeah.
It's going to be too bad if I didn't hit him. A blood trail's our only chance.
Yeah. They'll find another contact for narcotics across the border.
Sure they will. Unless we get to the man we're after. He's the only one who can lead us to the ring on this side of the border. And we've got to get to him before he gets rid of that package.
You are listening to Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson. Today marks our first Sunday broadcast. And we sincerely hope that all our old friends who listen to us on Saturday night will be with us at this new Sunday time. Also, we extend a cordial welcome to our new listeners and hope that you'll be with us every Sunday at this time. Now we continue with tonight's case, Living Death, an authentic story from the files of the Texas Rangers.
We combed the ground for a blood trail, and we found it. Not much, but enough to follow. It led through the mesquite and greasewood, but the rider knew the country. He'd been weaving through the roughest spots.
He's a smart one, Jace.
Yeah, slowing us down all the way.
Got a good hour on us by now.
And an hour is too long. He's probably just using that horse to get to a car someplace.
We can't waste any more time trail cutting, then.
No. He must have headed for cover someplace to take care of that wound. General direction seems to be northeast. We'll have to gamble on it.
Okay.
Let's ride. Get up, Charlie.
Come on.
After 2 miles, we reached a road and picked up the trail again. We had horse tracks to follow now, and they led to a dilapidated barn near a rundown ranch house.
He was here, all right, Clyde. Blood in the hay and this torn cloth ripped a piece off his shirt to make a bandage. He knew this spot and headed right for it. Must have been here before.
Yeah, but we're still way behind him. Main road's only a mile or so from here. He's gotten to his car by now.
The ranch house is dark. Let's wake him up. He might have seen something or heard something. Leave the horses here.
Okay. This place sure has gone to seed, Jason.
Yeah, big house, falling apart.
Fences sagging, no stock. Must have been a nice ranch once, though.
Isn't anymore. Man gets his living from the earth, you'd think he'd take better care of it.
Here's the house.
Open up! Hey, wake up in there!
Who is it?
Texas Rangers, ma'am. We'd like to talk to you.
Just a minute.
There was an electric power line to the house, but when she opened the door, she was carrying a candle. The inside of the house was almost barren.
What do you want?
We're looking for a rider who came through here tonight.
He stopped in your barn. You see or hear anything?
No, I didn't.
You rent out a horse to anybody?
A horse? Range, if I had a horse, I'd have sold him for food for my kids.
Sorry we have to bother you, ma'am.
It's all right. What difference does it make?
You know anybody around who... Ma'am, would you mind holding your candle over the mantle of this fireplace?
Why?
Jace, that picture.
That picture was a photograph of a man. The face was younger, full and healthier than when we'd seen it last. But there was no doubt about who it had been.
Jace, that's a picture of the man we saw with the cap, the body, and the morgue.
Oh, no.
Take it easy, ma'am. Take it easy.
Ma'am, I'm sorry.
When? When did you see him? He can't be dead. He can't be.
I'm afraid he is, ma'am. And you'll help us a lot if you'll tell us who he was.
Jack Prentice. My husband. Oh, my poor kid.
Oh, why didn't you report him missing?
Because he left me 2 years ago. He'd sold and lost everything we owned. He was sick, half crazy, acting like a madman. I don't know why I didn't do anything. He'd never been like that before.
You got any idea at all what started it?
A friend of his. Jack was all right. He was a good husband and father till he took up with Virgil Green. Then he spent more time with him than he did with us. He must have been gambling or something. We had a good place here. Then it was all gone.
This isn't going to be easy to take, ma'am. Your husband wasn't a gambler. He was a drug addict.
Oh, why didn't he tell me? I begged him to go to a doctor, but he wouldn't.
When did you see him last?
I told you 2 years ago. When Virgil Green left him, Jack left right after him.
You've seen Virgil Green since then?
No.
You know where Green went after he left here?
No, but it must have been Chino. I got a couple of letters from Jack came from there. And then he stopped writing. Not even a word to his kid.
Ma'am, I hate to leave you like this, but we'll see if we can get you some help later on.
Nothing can help anymore. Not for me. But I'd beg for my kid.
You won't have to. You'll hear from us. Come on, Clyde.
We gotta get the boy who gunned her husband, Jace.
We gotta get more than one. We gotta get them all. The whole ring. There'll be 100 more like her husband, dying slower and worse than he did.
You think this Virgil Green's the link?
It must be. Fits the cards we've been playing. Jack Prentice couldn't raise money to buy from Green, threatened to expose him, and Green killed him.
Then he killed a man near the border, too.
Gotta try to pick up Green at Chino. But he knew this place.
It's a fair bet he's the man we've been chasing. Get up, Charcoal.
Up, boy.
Taking him is going to be a pleasure.
We can't take him. Not until we find out if he still has that package. We better knock on these ponies until we get to our car.
Get up, Charcoal. Oh, yeah. Up, boy.
Got to the car, but before we headed for Chino, I put in a phone call to Captain Stinson.
All right, Jace. I'll have a Ranger plane pick up that bank wrapper and send it to the lab.
It may be a bank in Chino.
Well, that fits with a few other things. My checkup shows a heavy drug traffic in and around the Chino area, and the town where Prentice was killed is only 60 miles from Chino.
Good. That narrows it down. See if you can dig up a Chino address on Virgil Green while we're driving up there. He's only 2 hours ahead of us. We can burn up road. We may reach there almost as soon as he does.
Let you know by radio, Jase. I'll head for Chino myself.
Thanks, Captain. We'll see you there. We were less than an hour out of Chino when our short wave came through with Green's address.
KTXA to Unit 10.
Unit 10 to KTXA. Go ahead.
Address of subject Virgil Green is Greendale Ranch, State Highway 39, 14 miles west of Chino.
Got it. Any report from lab on bank money wrapper?
Stamp on money wrapper restored by Austin Lab. Money and packet came from Chino State Bank, corner Main and Crockett in Chino.
10-4, Unit 10 clear.
KDXA Austin.
That's all we need, Jace.
Yeah. We can get Green in sight before he unloads that package. It was dark when we reached the Greendale Ranch outside of Chino. We'd made up time on Green's head start because we saw a car and horse trailer pull into the ranch just ahead of us. A man got out of the car and limped up to the house, and he was carrying a package.
Walks like a man's been shot in the leg, Jace.
Yeah. Don't turn in after him. Go on past the ranch.
Okay. Where do you want to stop?
Where we can watch the house and keep the car shielded.
Well, there was some heavy brush on the other side of the road just across from Green's place.
All right. Turn around and go back. We'll keep an eye on him from there. We kept a watch on Green's house all night, but nobody showed to pick up the package. The next morning, Green came out and got into his car. We followed him into Chino.
He's pulling into a parking space up near the next corner, Jace.
Yeah, slow down.
He's getting out. He's got the package, all right, sticking out of his pocket.
Park here, quick. He's going into that building on the corner. Come on, before we lose him. Hey, the street sign, Mings and Crockett.
And he went in there, Jace. Chino State Bank. That's where the money wrapper came from.
Don't go in. Just walk around the corner. We can look through the bank windows. There he is, Jace. Last counter, the rear of the bank. Safe deposit boxes. Going through the rail into the vault.
Must have a box he's going to plant the stuff in. We going to grab him?
No. Wait till he comes out.
But he won't have it on him then.
We've got enough on him. We can pick him up any time. We gotta stay with that package until we know who gets it next.
Hey, he wasn't in there long. He's coming out.
Yeah, the package isn't in his pocket now. All right, get out of sight.
Yeah. Right. He was in there just long enough to open up the box and drop it.
Yeah, you've seen the package now. Drift around to the front of the bank. See that nobody leaves that vault with it unless you follow him.
Okay, where are you going?
To meet the captain and get a court order to open that vault. Got the order. Then we waited until the bank closed and the employees were out. We got the president of the bank at his home and took him back to open the vault.
Narcotics, eh? Most distressing, gentlemen. Oh, come in, please.
All right. Which box is Green's?
421, right here.
Want to open it for us?
Why, of course.
What? Say.
It's empty.
Now, couldn't you have made a mistake, Ranger?
No. Clyde, are you sure that package wasn't taken out?
Positive, Jace. I watched every single person went in or out till the bank closed.
Our order covers the rest of these boxes, doesn't it, Captain?
Yes.
All right. Let's open them all. We found what we were after, but not the way we expected to find it. The stuff was there, all right, but it had been split up into smaller quantities. The owners of these boxes must be names you have on your list of dope peddlers, then, Captain.
I'll check that on the bank records.
Yeah, but how'd this stuff get split up? Green wasn't in here long enough to do it.
No, he couldn't have done it. His key would only give him access to his own box.
It'd have to be done by somebody with a set of duplicate keys. Somebody working here.
Well, that's impossible. Only the head cashier and I have duplicate keys.
Were you in the vault after the bank closed?
No, sir. I haven't been in here all day.
That's truth, Jace. I could see him through the window.
And then the head cashier's our boy. He's the distributor.
And a pretty clever distribution scheme, too. No direct contact, and he has access to the vault after the guard has left.
If he's handled those packets, there'll be fingerprints on them. What's his name and where does he live?
His name is August Weber. He's got a big ranch over near Estrella on Highway 39. And I know how he got it now. He said he was making money on investments.
Investments? He meant a black market in human souls. Come on, Clyde. Let's get him and Virgil Green. We found the house. An elaborate building on a fine ranch. There was another car in the driveway when we pulled up.
Hey, Jace. That car in front of the place.
Yeah, we're in luck. It's the car Virgil Green was driving.
Light around the side of the house by that French door. Maybe they didn't hear us drive in.
Good. Let's slip up on that side of the porch and find out.
Might be able to take him easy.
Don't count on it. Cold-blooded killer like Green. He'd keep on killing as long as he has a gun. We slipped up to the French door. It was locked and we couldn't see through it. But their voices drifted out through an open window.
Telling you, Weber, my leg is infected. I gotta see a doctor.
Have him report a bullet wound?
You want me to die? I could put a bullet in you, too.
Well, let me know when you want to try. I've done a little killing myself, Green. Only I've been smarter about it.
Nobody's caught me yet.
All right, Clyde. Let's kick a hole in this door.
All right. Don't move.
Ranger! Don't breathe.
Clyde, you hurt bad?
My side. You're hit too, Jace. Blood on your head.
Yeah, just a minute. Come on. I'll get you to a hospital.
How about them?
Leave them for the coroner. They're both dead.
The gun found beside the body of Virgil Green proved to be the murder weapon the Rangers had been seeking. Narcotics peddlers, having safe deposit boxes at the Chino State Bank, were rounded up, and they admitted they had been supplied by August Weber. They were tried and sentenced. The traffic in living death was halted. And here again is the star of our show, Joel McRae.
A friend of mine returned recently from a visit to Texas. While he was there, he'd seen a Texas Ranger, and he asked his host, a rancher, what the requirements were for a man who wanted to be a ranger. The host looked thoughtful for a moment and said, "Well, I'd say if a man could ride like a Mexican, trail like an Indian, shoot like a Tennessean, and fight like the devil, he might have a chance to get in." Now, I hope you'll be with us again next week. Same time, same station. Good night.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McRae is currently seen starring in the MGM production Stars in My Crown. Tonight's cast included Tony Barrett, Barney Phillips, Larry Dobkin, Byron Kane, Ken Harvey, and Lillian Byers. This story was transcribed and adapted by Joel Murcott, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keach. This is Hal Gibney speaking.
Now, Autolite and its 60,000 dealers and service stations present...
Suspense! Tonight, Autolite brings you Mr. Joseph Cotton in The Day I Died, a suspense play produced and directed by Anton M. Leder.
Friends, the 4th of July weekend is coming up with a lot of reckless weekend driving. So remember, take care, don't take chances. Reckless driving can put you in a spot you can't pull out of. Yes, even a dandy dependable Autolite Stay Full battery that needs water only 3 times a year in normal car use can't help you then.
Your life depends on normal, safe car driving. Be extra safe.
And an Autolite Stay Full battery is protected by fiberglass insulation for stronger life and longer life. Why, in recent tests conducted according to the Society of Automotive Engineers life cycle standards, Autolite Stay Full batteries gave 70% longer average life than batteries without Stay Full features. So ask your dealer for an Autolite Stay Full battery.
And this weekend and all the time, take care. Don't take chances.
Be battery right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite presents Mr. Joseph Cotton in a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning. Why is that window open?
It's getting stuffy in here. And I
told you to keep it closed. You might be seen from the street.
I haven't gone anywhere near it. No one.
Don't argue with me, Wells. Keep that window closed and the shade down.
Now, just a minute. I'll give the orders around here. You're still my wife, Leslie, and this is still my house.
You're forgetting something, aren't you, Wells? I'm not your wife. I'm your widow. And it's been my house ever since the day you died.
I had no comeback. I did what Leslie told me because, well, she was right. A dead man can't put up much of an argument. He has no authority, not even with his wife. Things had been different once. I had money, power, and there was nobody in the world who would have presumed to tell Wells Galloway what to do. But that was before a certain evening in July up at Lake Latimer. That was before Red Tuttle, my law partner, paid me a visit at my cabin up there. In other words, that was before the day I died. I was alone. I'd gone to the cabin to be alone, to try to figure things out. The money was gone by that time. I'd thrown it away, hundreds of thousands of dollars in good living and gambling. And in a sense, Leslie was gone, too. Oh, she was still my wife, but the man she loved was Norman Vail. And I knew it, and she knew I knew it, and she didn't much care. So this time I'd come up to the cabin without my rifle because I wasn't planning to do any hunting. But I brought along a revolver for reasons I didn't admit to myself. And I left it lying on the table in the living room. I was staring at it that evening when I heard the cab from the village stop down on the highway. It was still a little light, and I saw a shock of flaming red hair on the path between the trees, and I knew my partner was going to honor me with his presence. I thought I knew why, too, and I wasn't wrong.
I couldn't believe my eyes, Wells. I still can't believe it. I came all the way up here just to hear you say it isn't true.
You wasted your time, Red. It is true.
But good Lord, man, we were appointed trustees of that estate. Taking those bonds was a criminal act. Why did you do such a thing?
I needed the money.
Well, I hope you're ready to pay it back before the heirs get wind of it.
I'm not. I haven't got a cent.
Then what are you going to do?
I don't know yet.
You certainly don't expect me to... Is that what you're thinking, Wells? It is, isn't it? Well, I'll be hanged if I'll do it. I'm not going to take a beating to cover up for you. You cash those bonds and you'll make them good.
Oh, go away, will you, Rad?
What?
I said go away. I don't care what you do about those bonds. I've got more important things to worry about.
Like your wife, Wells? Well, don't expect any pity from me there, either.
I'm not asking you for anything.
You're responsible for losing Leslie. No man could treat a woman the way you've treated Leslie and get away with it. Well, you made a slave of her. You practically locked her up in your house.
Now, I think you'd better go away, Red.
I'll go when I get the money to buy back those bonds, not before.
Oh, for the love... Here's my ring. Here's my watch. Take them. They ought to be worth something. Take them and get out.
I'll take them, Wells, but it's not enough.
It's all I've got, I tell you. Now, leave me alone.
All right. But when I leave here, I'm going to the police.
Police?
Yes. If you think I'm going to suffer for your mistakes, you're wrong. I'm going to bring charges against you before the Prescott heirs start prosecuting the firm.
Why, you dirty...
That was another mistake, Wells. I won't take that either.
He was stronger than I. His blow caught me on the chin, and I was staggering across the room. I crashed against the mantel above the fireplace. The kerosene lamp had been burning there. It toppled off and fell on the floor, but I hardly noticed it. My eyes were on something else. On that revolver that lay on the table by the window. I don't remember picking it up. I only remember how it felt in my hand.
Wells! No, Wells! Put it down! Wells!
The first shot dropped Red to the floor. But I kept on firing because I couldn't stop. This was power again, the power to kill, and I loved it. But not for long. With the last bullet, the spell was broken, and then was when the fear came. I'd never known fear before. I wasn't prepared to deal with it. It took hold of me and shook me until I was trembling from head to foot. It brought the sweat popping out of every pore. It wouldn't let me approach the body, not even to reclaim my ring and watch. It carried me out of the cabin and sent me stumbling into the darkening woods. And I spent the night there, wandering blindly through the blackness. In my hand, I still carried the gun. Long before dawn, I began to wonder why I hadn't saved one shell, just one. For if my life had reached dead end a few hours ago, then what would you call this? Where did I go now that I was wanted for murder? It was daylight when I came out of the woods. There was a truck rumbling toward me. Desperate men take desperate chances.
Give me a lift to the city?
Why, sure, mister. Hop in.
He'd heard about me. Wells Galloway was wanted for murder. I knew that right away. I knew it from the way he looked me over, but it didn't matter. Nothing mattered. This really was dead end.
I guess you're okay, mister. Shut the door.
What do you mean, okay?
Well, I thought maybe you're the guy I heard about back at Lake Latimer.
What guy?
Well, it was a murder back there last night. One fella shot another one in a cabin, then burned the cabin down.
Burned it down?
Sure. Right to the ground. Couldn't even have identified the body. Only they found a ring and a watch on it. I figured you might be the killer, but... Nah, he's a redhead. Word named Tuttle. The guy he killed was his law partner. A big shot with a fancy moniker. Something like, Wells Galloway.
Suspense, Autolite is bringing you Mr. Joseph Cotton in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Speak at the 4th of July picnic.
I sure am, Hap, and by happy coincidence, I just happen to have a copy of my speech right here.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to say, on this glorious occasion, it behooves us all to think about that dandy, dynamic, dependable Autolite stay-full battery that needs water only 3 times a year, normal car use.
Mm-hmm.
On this historic occasion, my friends, let's look at facts. An Autolite stay-full battery practically eliminates one of the major causes of battery failure. And in addition, it's protected by fiberglass insulation for stronger life and longer life.
My.
Think, my friends, longer life. In recent tests conducted according to the Society of Automotive Engineers life cycle standards, Autolite stay-full batteries gave 70%, yes, 70% longer average life than batteries without stay-full features.
It's inspired, Arnold.
So remember these words that will go ringing down the corridors of time.
An Autolite Stay Full battery needs water only 3 times a year in normal car use. And at this point, Hap, I take a long, cold drink of water.
Why?
Because I'm thirsty. You know, I'm not an Autolite Stay Full battery.
And at this point, suspense.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Joseph Cotton as Wells Galloway in The Day I Died. A tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
So the day I killed my partner turned out, as far as the law was concerned, to be the day I died. It was my body, the police had decided, that was lying back there in the charred ruins of my cabin on Lake Latimer. It was Red Tuttle, not Wells Galloway, who was wanted for murder. The truck driver dropped me on the outskirts of the next city. I went into a barbecue joint, sat down at the counter, and pieced the story together. The kerosene lamp I'd knocked off the mantle, that was what had started the fire, and it was the ring and the watch I'd given Red that enabled the police to identify the body that had been burned beyond recognition, to identify it as me, Wells Galloway. That much was clear. But what wasn't clear was what to do about it. What's the next step after you've been pronounced dead?
Well, here's the eggs, fella. Nice day, eh?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Beautiful day. Kind of day, it's great to be alive.
He made me see the point, the man behind the counter, the point I'd been missing. It was great to be alive, especially if everybody thought you were dead, especially if the life you'd been living had reached an impasse and you were broke and your wife was in love with another man and you were wanted by the police and your only hope lay in a chance to start over, to start from scratch. That's what they were giving me, handing it to me on a silver platter, a fresh start, a clean slate. I was dead. Now I could begin living again.
Well, now, let's see. Oranges, 2 eggs, bacon, coffee. That'll be 80 cents, please. 82 with tax.
But that was another point the counterman made me see. Subtract 82 cents from $50 and you get $49.18. Not much to start a new life on, not when you're used to big money. And big money was the only thing that would make a new life worth living. A little capital was all I needed, but where do you borrow capital when you can't show your face? Who'll lend money to a corpse? In the circles where Wells Galloway had moved, friends were not to be trusted. And as for my wife, as for Leslie... Leslie. Yes, Leslie. Yes, that was it. The Wells Galloway brain was beginning to click again. It kept on clicking, keeping pace with the click of the train wheels that carried me back to the city where the late Wells Galloway had lived. It was night when I got there. I was halfway up the walk when the front door opened. I hardly had time to slip behind the lilac bush before Leslie stepped out on the porch. He was with her, the man she loved, Norman Vail.
You think I'm callous, don't you, Norman? You think I'm too hard?
No, of course not, darling. If you weren't happy with him, naturally you can't be too broken up over his death.
Happy? I was miserable with him. You know how he treated me? I wasn't his wife, I was his prisoner. I hated him, Norman, and I'm not broken up. I'm glad he's dead.
A shudder ran down my spine when I heard her, but that must have been because the night was getting cool, for after all, this was just what I was counting on. My plan wouldn't work if she weren't glad I was dead. I waited till Norman Vail's car pulled away. Then I waited 5 minutes longer. And finally, I climbed the front steps, put my key in the lock, and let myself in.
Who is that? Who's out there? Who?
Hello, Leslie. There had been a time when she would have fainted. She didn't faint now, but she turned very white, and I noticed when she poured herself a half tumbler of bourbon that her hand was trembling. Still, she managed, after one long swallow, to say rather evenly, almost casually.
Let's have it, Wells. I'm sure it's a fascinating story.
So I told her. As I talked, I had a queer feeling that she was a stranger. Something had happened to her since I saw her last. Whether it was Norman Vail or whether it was the fact that She thought I was dead. Whatever it was, she was a different person, a stronger one, and braver, and harder.
What do you want, Wells?
Accept my condolences, Leslie. It's a tough break.
Not at all. I'm tickled pink.
I'm sure.
Did you think I would be?
No.
Did you have any illusions I'd be heartbroken when they called and told me that you were dead?
None.
You know what I did? A jig. It's the first time I ever danced in this house.
Well, you should have done that oftener. Things might have been better between us.
I couldn't find anything to dance about. Well, why'd you come back? What are you after?
Three guesses.
Knowing you, I only need one. How much?
$25,000.
What makes you think you'll get it?
I think you could use $25,000 yourself.
Maybe you'd better explain.
Simple enough. I'm worth $50,000 dead. The insurance is payable in one lump sum to you. It should be coming through in another week or so.
And you're suggesting an even split?
Exactly. I take my half and disappear. As far as you and the rest of the world are concerned, I'm dead and I stay dead. You have $25,000 and you're free to marry Norman Vale.
I see.
Well?
Must have occurred to you I'd prefer to keep the whole 50.
If you could.
And why couldn't I? Suppose I turn you in.
Yeah.
And you're electrocuted for killing Red Tuttle. I still collect, but there's no split.
And if I'm not electrocuted, if I get life imprisonment...
There would be that risk.
Too big a risk, Lessie. I didn't plan Red's death. There was nothing premeditated about it. I killed him in anger. The state doesn't give the death penalty for that.
If you can prove it.
I think I could. I'd live a long time in prison, Leslie.
I wouldn't like that.
So?
I'm thinking... You'd stay here in the house till the insurance company pays off.
It's as safe as place as any.
Safer? You'd have to stay hidden.
Of course.
You couldn't step out the door.
Not very often.
Not at all. You'd be practically a prisoner in your own home.
Well, for a week or two, it'd be worth it.
Would it?
Oh.
Yes. I guess it would. All right, Wells.
I mean,
all right. It's a deal.
Was smiling when she said it, but after all, why shouldn't she smile? Things had turned out well enough for her, considering the fact that I wasn't actually dead. This was the next best thing. Naturally, she smiled. Her reasons for smiling were perfectly obvious, weren't they? She went upstairs afterward, and when she came down, she was still smiling.
I thought you must be tired after all you've been through, Wells. I made your bed.
Thanks, Leslie. Guest room?
No, not the guest room.
Well, if I'm going to stay hidden, that's the most isolated room in the house.
Not quite the most. You're forgetting the attic.
The attic?
There's an old army cot up there. You'll use that.
It's hotter than blazes in the attic.
It's only for a week or so. You said yourself it was worth it.
Oh, and I didn't mean
I... No, but I did. Don't you want to go up now, Wells?
That was when I started to catch on. It hadn't occurred to me that she would relish the idea of keeping me as confined as possible. I was amused as I climbed the stairs. Let her have a fun, I thought. It wouldn't be so bad. A few days in the attic, well, that wouldn't kill me. The light up there was dim, and she must have walked very quietly because I didn't know she had followed me up the stairs. I didn't know it until I opened the door to the attic room. And then just behind me, she said...
Go on in, Wells. I have the key. I'll lock the door.
Lock it? Well, there's no need to lock it.
I don't agree with you. The cleaning woman comes tomorrow.
Well, she won't come up here.
But you might be tempted to go down.
Why should I?
You'll get lonely, Wells. You'll get bored and restless and terribly unhappy. You'll begin to think you'll go crazy if you don't get out. You'll be desperate for the sound of a human voice. Believe me, I know.
Now, look here, Leslie.
Please go in, Wells.
All right, but there's no reason to take advantage of the spot I'm in.
What do you mean, dear? I'm protecting you. I'm carrying out our bargain, the one you suggested. Now go in and let me lock the door.
I wasn't amused anymore. This wasn't funny. This was a new experience, taking orders from my own wife, and I couldn't say I liked it, but what could I do? One quick telephone call, one shout, even to the neighbors in the next house, and my game was up. I knew that, and she knew I knew it. So the trump card was in her hand, and she was playing it. She was playing it slowly and with pleasure. She was playing it for all it was worth.
Good morning, darling.
Morning, morning. It must be almost noon. I'm starving. Why didn't you come up?
I was busy. Norman dropped over to see me.
You didn't tell him.
Of course not. This is Our little secret, dear. Did you sleep well?
I didn't sleep at all.
Worried about something?
Certainly not. It was hot up here, that's all. What have I got to worry about?
Nothing that I know of.
Well, go and get me something to eat. I'm dying of hunger.
Oh, I hope not, Wells. I wouldn't want you to die of hunger.
And then I saw it. I saw it all, the whole thing, the thing I should have seen before. How could I have missed it? She was going to kill me, and why not? What was there to stop her? Wasn't I dead already? Who would ever miss me? Who would know what she had done? She could bury me in the back orchard. She could burn me in the furnace. She'd have the whole 50,000, and who would be the wiser? You can't accuse a woman of killing a corpse. Then on I paced. The room was only 8 feet square, but I walked for miles, and the sweat rolled down my face and down my body, and the walls closed in, and I waited for her to return. What do you want, Leslie?
Well, I thought you'd like to know. I just came from your funeral.
Oh, they buried Red?
Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful service. I'm sorry you weren't there.
That was the evening of the second day. She left my dinner on the table and didn't come back that night. At least I didn't think she had come back, but when I awoke the next morning, I wasn't sure. Sometime toward dawn, a shadow had moved across my dream. A lock had snapped, a door had opened. Had it been a part of the dream itself, or had Leslie... But why should she have come and gone like that? What could she have wanted? There was nothing of interest to her. Nothing. Except the revolver. The gun I'd emptied into Red Tuttle's body. It was in the pocket of my coat, and my coat was hung over the back of a chair. I leaped from the bed and went for my coat, the right-hand pocket. No, it was empty. Must have been the left. The left was empty, too. The gun was gone. Leslie had taken it. And now, for the second time in my life, I knew fear. I stumbled toward the door. I began to pound frantically. Leslie! 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 I heard her footsteps, and then she was just outside, hissing at me.
Quiet, you fool!
Let me out of here.
I said be quiet. Norman's downstairs. He'll hear you.
I don't care who hears me. Let me out!
Leslie, who is that?
Here he comes. Will you be quiet?
Who's up there, Leslie?
It's no one, Norman. It's nothing,
don't
really.
Don't lie to me. I heard someone shouting. There's somebody in that room. Who is it, Leslie? Leslie, answer me. Who's in there?
It's my husband. It's Wells.
So now he knew, too. There was silence after she told him, and the sound of footsteps descending the stairs. She was leading him away. She was going to talk it over with him, tell him her plan, ask his help. They were discussing it now, just how they would do it, just how they would dispose of me afterward. I staggered to the window. She'd put a lock on it after the first time she'd found it open, and even if she hadn't, what good would it do me? Suppose I could climb down somehow. Where was I to go? The face of a dead man attracts attention on a public street. An hour passed before I heard footsteps again. And now, I thought, now they would do it. The key turned in the lock, but the door didn't open. They were getting ready, checking the gun. It was loaded now. They would empty it into me as I had emptied it into Red Tuttle. Now they were turning the knob. They were coming in. But it was only Leslie, and she had no gun, and Norman wasn't with her.
It's all right now, Wells.
What?
Everything is all right. He won't tell.
How do you know?
He wanted to. He wanted to go to the police. I persuaded him not to, so don't worry. Everything's quite all right.
Was it? And why did she say it like that? And why was she trembling? Because she was afraid. Afraid of what she and Norman Vale were planning to do. Afraid because the next time she came, he would be with her and they'd kill me. And I was alone again now. Oh, what were they waiting for? Let them come. Let them come and get it over with. I was tired of this room. It was getting smaller every minute. Smaller and hotter. The heat was unbearable. I could scarcely breathe. Why, it was hotter than it had been 10 minutes ago. It was like a furnace. Just like a furnace. I didn't know what it was at first, that sound. I didn't know until I heard it again. And then I knew. There was no need even to look at the steam radiator in the corner. They had built a fire, Leslie and Norman Vale, in the middle of the summer. They had built a fire, and they had built it for me. Now the sweat really poured. Now the breath came hard. No, not alive. I thought they wouldn't put me in alive. Of course they would. That's the safest way. Gunshots could be heard. But you can't hear a man being stuffed into a furnace. Of course they would. No, they wouldn't, because I wouldn't let them. Maybe I had to die, but not that way. No, not that way. There was still the window. There were still people on the street. Help! Help me! They're going to burn me alive! Help! 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 Something happened. I blacked out. And when I came to, I was lying on the army cot. The policeman towered above. He waited until my eyes could focus, and when he said it very quietly.
You're under arrest, Mr. Galloway, for the murder of your partner, Mr. Tuttle.
You fool! You stupid fool!
She was standing in the doorway, and there was another policeman with her. His arm was linked to hers. I could almost smile at that, but Norman Vale, where was Norman Vale? He'd wanted to kill me, too. He was as guilty as she. The policeman must have seen the question in my eyes.
Your wife is under arrest, too, Mr. Galloway, for the murder of Norman Vale.
The murder of... Leslie, you killed him?
Of course I killed him. Didn't I tell you he wanted to turn you in? Did you think I'd let him rob me of all that money? Oh, you... You fool, you! If you'd only waited 10 minutes, there wouldn't have been a trace of him left.
Thank you, Joseph Cotton, for a splendid performance.
Well, hello. I guess that winds up suspense for this season.
It sure does, Hap, but we'll be back in the fall on September 1st, in fact. Same time, same stations. And gosh, does that make me happy.
Oh, it does?
Yes, because then I'll have more opportunities to tell people about those dandy, dependable Autolite Stay Full batteries that need water only 3 times a year in normal car use.
Well, folks, I think he likes you.
Yeah, just the way folks like Autolite Stay Full batteries. So, friends, this is Harlow Wilcox.
And his pal, Hap.
Saying so long for now and best wishes for a happy, trouble-free summer from Autolite, makers of more than 400 products for cars, trucks, airplanes, and boats.
Keep happy, folks.
And keep your car happy. Have it checked regularly at your Autolite dealers or by the dealer who services your make of car. There's one near you, no matter where you're vacationing. And be sure to ask for Autolite Original Factory Parts. Because they're engineered perfectly to fit together perfectly and work together perfectly. Because they're a perfect team. So long for now, and remember, you're always right with Autolite.
And for this 4th of July weekend, remember this slogan.
Take care. Don't take chances.
And now here again is Mr. Joseph Cotton.
I've always enjoyed appearing on Suspense, and particularly so in tonight's unusual play. As you know, this is the last Suspense broadcast for this season, but I'm looking forward, and I'm sure you are, to its return to the air on September 1st, when radio's outstanding theater of thrills will again bring you Hollywood's most famous stars in these gripping studies in...
Suspense!
Joseph Cotton appeared by arrangement with David O. Selznick, producer of Portrait of Jenny. Tonight's Suspense play was written by Ken Pettis and Lou Schofield, with music composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lud Bluskin. The entire production was under the direction of Anton M. Leader. In the coming weeks at this same time, be sure to hear Escape, a series of great stories of high adventure by the world's outstanding authors.
Suspense, brought to you by Autolite on Thursday nights at this hour, is taking its customary summer holiday and returns to the air on Thursday, September 1st.
You can buy Autolite Stay-Full batteries, Autolite resistor spark plugs, Autolite electrical parts at your neighborhood Autolite dealers. Switch to Autolite. Good night.
This is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week. The Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Relic Radio Show. Hope you enjoyed it. And find more from Tales of the Texas Rangers, Suspense, past episodes of this show and all the other shows at relicradio.com. You can also donate from the website as well. If you enjoy this and all the shows, would like to help out, thank you as always to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for relicradio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.